Welcome to the Salsa Blanca podcast, episode number 2. This episode is with Alan Rodriguez in Cuba, sometime back around 1996 or 97. Sorry for the quality of this, but he's talking about ethnomusicology, and I recorded this probably with a very crummy 2-track. I did as best as I could. And if you're interested in the transcript, it's below this, or you can go to salsablanca.com, look up the podcast, and you can easily read the transcript. And here we go.
Okay, now we can begin speaking about song. The thing is to know where it came from, very generally speaking. Now, song, I would like to explain something that, because there is a lot of confusion about when was the first, when the song was born. And also there is a lot of mistakes that very recently Cuban historians and people who dedicate themselves, you know, to gather this information have discovered there's a lot of mistakes on books written many years ago. And maybe you have heard that the first Cuban song was something like El Son de la Matadora. This is very common. You can hear this everywhere. El Son de la Matadora. Son de la Matadora. This means mother. Mother Teodora. De la Matadora. And it's supposed it says, nobody can actually say which is the exact date for the birth of song. But during a very large period of time, the Cuban historians said that there was a document published in 1893 by Laureano Fuentes, where he said that this Son de la Matadora was the first song, and it was composed by two sisters, Micaela and Teodora Inés. These were the two sisters, they were two nuns. And Teodora was the one who wrote this song. Or anyway, one of them two, well, the two sisters wrote the Son de la Matadora. And so they say this happened as far away as in the 16th century. Of course, nowadays we know this is completely a great mistake, because what is important to know is that Cuban nationality and Cuban culture was born on the second half of the 18th century. Before that, there was no Cuban culture. So this is a big mistake. And now, what most of the people who do research, they say that they doubt that Son de la Matadora existed at all. And they think that this was a mistake by Laureano Fuentes taking a tune of last century that was, you know, last century that sounded in some way very ancient or very old or something. He made a mistake. And even they doubt that Teodora Inés ever existed herself, you know. So nothing is for sure. I say, because you're going to read in a lot of books and maybe even in, I don't know, movies and things, this is Son de la Matadora. Now we say it's not true. Now, the real truth is that song begins in the countryside, and very specifically in the mountains. This is one theory. Another one is that it was born in many places of the country at the same time. But everybody agrees that this happened on the second half of the 18th century. And now we're going to hear an example of song on Sierra Maestra. Sierra Maestra is our biggest, highest mountains, you know. And deep inside these woods, you know, the mountains, these are recordings are taken. It's a party, it's named Nembong. Nembong. Nembong is one of the names for song. You'll hear there's a Changui, is another name for a style of song, and so on. So you can hear it. That's why song is a big group of different dances. Let's hear this. Look how the transition from this African came to this. It's very interesting. These are the first songs. The guitar is back. No, it's a car. Tres, maybe. No, there is. But it's not very clear. Maybe. Okay. So he said that when you hear the recording, well, you can hear a marimba also on the back. Here it's not very easy. Okay. We have to get a better report. Okay. Okay, so now we have your song. And now, song expanded throughout the whole territory in a very fast way. And not only through Cuba, it reached also Isla de Pinos, you know, it's a small island we have, it's part of Cuba, and also Santo Domingo and Puerto Rico also it reached. In this area, the song had the musical form of a round dance. And it took from the Africans the solo and the refrain, the chorus. Okay. And it mixed up.
That's often referred to as call and response.
Call and response. Call and response. But the call and response, it can be made by two soloists. So, so you have to have a solo in a group. Mm-hmm. That's the African. Yeah. And also it got mixed up with this alternation of solo and chorus. And it took the percussion instruments from the Africans, and it took the guitars, bandurria, you know, different types of string instruments, bandurria guitar, and also tres, which is a Cuban version of the Spanish guitar. I'll explain later what's the difference. And we have now song. With all this mixing, we have a new example of song. This one, it's very interesting, this one. It's now you can hear the whole mixing. See, it's exactly the same rhythm, but now we have a guitar. I think the examples are good. I'm going to go to the hospital. Choices, because, you know, unluckily we need more time to, because I'm trying to do today song and dance song at least, because we have 5 minutes as fast as we can. Now, what is the rest of it? What is now the more modern examples? You know, after this, you can begin speaking about Benny More. You can hear Benny More, some examples, but we don't have time. We don't have time, but I think it's already an introduction to song. I think. So what I suggest is to skip to that song now, to do the same, at least to do the same, you know, just to, now, that song.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you just explain how this kind of tumbao developed, what we can hear on this recording and song?
I know. That's what I do on piano lessons. Because if we do that, you see, tumbao is quite different on each instrument. So I think tumbao is a question that is better solved on the instrument classes, you know.
Yes,
because it's not the same tumbao on guitar than in piano and so on. So, but we can do that in some moment, but really it would take a lot of time.
Also, I don't think. There's a new concept, which is starting tomorrow.
The purpose of this is to make a general overview, you see. That's what we're trying to do, to gather things up, and then we go to the specific
things. You mentioned the different names for different subcategories of the Nengong and the Changgu.
Nengong, Changgu,
for those corresponding
suku,
to
also, that's another
geographical
one.
Areas?
Yes, yes. Suku is, for example, Isla de Pinos. Mm-hmm. Nengong is on the eastern side of the country, in Sierra Maestra, for example. Changui also, on the eastern province.
Do they use different instruments in the different areas?
And also, they have different instruments. Depending of what are the influence of the immigrations, you know. Sometimes it's a little bit more Spanish, sometimes it's a little bit more French, because we have tumbas francesas, you know, so from Haiti, even British, you know, from Big Pai Caiman, we had people living here. It's very complex, but yes, there is like.